This is KVNF's regional newscast for Thursday, August 12th. I'm Gavin Dahl. CDOT says drivers will finally be able to travel on Interstate 70 through Glenwood Canyon as soon as this Saturday, marking an end to long detours that started last month after a large mudslide. Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Officials warn reopening the highway this weekend is only possible without heavy rain. CDOT only expects one lane of traffic going in each direction. Governor Jared Polis toured the damage on Wednesday and said crews have done a tremendous job of removing thousands of tons of debris. The state is trying to get more than $100 million from the federal government to help with repairs and create a better detour around the canyon. I'm Scott Franz.
Yesterday, the Rural Utilities Service, a division of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, awarded more than $10.5 million in grants to DMEA and Elevate Internet to help construct its network in two out-of-the-way places within Montrose and Delta counties, the areas of Pea Green and East Delta. According to a press release, the grant will help the utility build over 250 miles of new mainline fiber, connecting more people to the internet. In June, Governor Jared Polis signed Senate Bill 116 into law, banning American Indian mascots in Colorado public schools. State Senator Don Corum and Representative Mark Catlin, both Republicans, last week said they were angling for the exemption provided in the bill to keep two longstanding mascots in the Montrose School District. The bill gave school districts until June 30th of next year to reach agreements with nearby tribes to avoid a $2,500 monthly fine for districts that don't comply. The Montrose Press reports Ute Mountain Ute Tribal Chairman Manuel Hart said Monday he hadn't yet received anything in writing about the matter. San Miguel Public Health Director Grace Franklin is urging residents to wear protective face coverings when in crowded indoor spaces. The Montrose Press reports in San Miguel County, most Telluride and Mountain Village residents have been vaccinated, while pandemic numbers are robust in the east end of the county. Both the Telluride Jazz Festival and the Telluride Blues and Brews Festivals will require ticketed patrons to show proof of vaccination or a recent negative COVID test. The Telluride Jazz Festival starts tomorrow. Across the state, community college enrollment is expected to drop 6.2%. That's after a 10% drop last year. Chalkbeat reports that nationally, other community colleges saw similar declines, and it's uncertain when enrollment numbers will rebound. Officials attribute the decline to hardships related to the pandemic, such as a reluctance to ride public transit, family needs, and safety fears, especially now with the spread of the Delta variant. Enrollment declines at the Community College of Denver are 23%. A Colorado man has pleaded guilty to his role in the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol building. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports Glenn Wes Lee Croy of Colorado Springs pleaded guilty Monday to demonstrating inside the Capitol. He reportedly bragged on social media that he'd been there and sent someone a photo of himself as proof. The person sent the photo to the FBI. Croy faces up to 6 months in prison when he's sentenced in October. And Ojibwe activist Monona LaDuke will speak tonight at the Wilderness Workshop's annual fundraising benefit at the Hotel Jerome in Aspen. The Aspen Daily News reports she's one of over 700 people arrested protesting the construction of Line 3, a pipeline connecting Alberta's tar sands, called Canada's Mordor, to a Lake Superior refinery. Paonia, like many Western Slope towns, is grappling with short-term rentals, including Airbnb and VRBO. The subject was discussed at Tuesday's town trustee meeting. Kate Redmond reports.
The Town of Paonia Board of Trustees conducted a short-term rental survey back in April of this year. Part of the reason for the survey was to address the perception that Airbnbs remove properties from residents having access to available long-term rentals and that short-term rentals do not collect sales or lodging taxes like hotels. On Tuesday at the regular meeting of the board, the issue was taken up in detail. One issue was parking, another was absentee landlords. The survey showed that there were a variety of opinions in town on short-term rentals. Trustee Mick Johnson, who is on the Governmental Affairs and Public Safety Committee who authored the survey, talked about the impact of STRs on parking.
The survey shows that there is actually no impact. No impact is higher than what a negative impact is. That's what we received on our replies.
The short-term rental survey put to citizens by the GAPS committee showed wide-ranging opinions on short-term rentals. While the written comments mostly showed respondents believed that STRs are taking away from long-term rentals for locals, the numbers skewed differently. For instance, responses were decidedly mixed on the question of what type of regulation would you support for STRs in Paonia. zoning restrictions, requirement to register with the town, to notify neighbors, to pay commercial rates and meet commercial building standards, all hovered below 50% agreement on the survey. Trustee Michelle Patterson, who recused herself from decision-making on short-term rentals to avoid conflict of interest, gave feedback that one way forward is for Paonia Town Code to adopt more consistent language defining uses of property.
I think a big question is how we define short-term rentals and whether we designate them as residential, home-based business, or commercial use, and then how we apply our code to each of those uses. Our code right now has some kind of strange definitions on dwelling unit, bed and breakfast, and boarding house. They don't serve us well, I think, for consistent definitions for how people are actually using their residential units in town. There's a question from GAPS on whether we should incorporate and adopt the language from the International Building Code and how they deal with these issues. I think they do a better job of defining the uses than we do, and I think we could build from there. But I do think it's going to be some board direction on where we draw those lines between residential, home-based business, and commercial use, and how our existing code, or if we need to modify the code, to properly apply those definitions.
Thomas Markle, who runs a short-term rental business in Paonia, spoke on how most businesses already pay sales and lodging taxes through their third-party booking service in a dialogue with Mayor Mary Backron.
There is no issue whatsoever with how taxes will be collected if you choose to propose one, because all of these services are done through third parties, Airbnb, VRBO. So all you have to do is submit to those guys that there is a tax in Paonia. They will update the listings and bill it and submit it accordingly. So that means that you don't need a registration or anything like that in order to enforce it. All you have to do is create one. And by that same process, the current hospitality taxes are already collected. For anybody running an Airbnb or a VRBO, they are paying their hospitality taxes to the state. Yes.
Then Paonia doesn't get any of that because we don't have the structure in place to...
Correct. Yes. Yes. If you choose to create a hospitality tax or an occupational tax or however you want to phrase it, you can have one. You know, and the sales tax is also submitted. Our 3% sales tax is submitted by these companies.
Markle also brought up the difference in residential taxes and commercial taxes and insurance costs.
I have a commercial property that I pay 29% tax on, whereas residential is 21 and 7, something like that right now. I am set at a distinct disadvantage for my operational costs and the way that I work versus someone running an Airbnb out of their home. Whether they live there or not, they have much lower taxes. They have insurance coverage through their homeowner's insurance rather than commercial insurance, which is much less expensive.
For now, the town of Paonia has decided to look at what other municipalities like Ridgeway do and to conduct a housing survey to decide what to do about short-term rentals. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Thursday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.